Trouble, challenges, and difficulty appear to different people in different ways. When you find yourself facing an unforeseen adversity, it's important to remember to stay diligent with what you have. God's desire isn't just to bring you through a challenge. His desire is that you come out better than you were before. He wants to reward you by making something great out of what seems hopeless. As a thank you for your support of our ministry this month, Joel and Victoria would like to send you a copy of Double for Your Trouble, God's Reward for Staying in Faith.
God promises if we'll stay in faith, He'll not only bring us through every challenge, but He'll even bring us out better off than we were before. That's what we're believing for each one of you. Know this, on the other side of every difficulty, God has a new level of His favor. That's why we have challenges many times and they stop people, but don't let it be you. Keep pressing forward. We love you. We pray for you every single day. I know God has great things in your future. Thanks so much for praying for us, for your support. We couldn't take the ministry around the world without generous people just like you.
Remember, God said He wouldn't withhold anything from those who walk uprightly. So today, God's got everything you need. He's got the right people. He's got the finances. He's got the opportunity. He's not going to withhold anything that you need. That doesn't mean we're not going to have challenges. We're not going to face some things. But whatever we need, God's going to be right there to help us. So remember today, God has blessed you. You are strong. You are focused. You are determined. And you're going to have a great week.
To request your copy of Double for Your Trouble, God's Reward for Staying in Faith, visit joelosteen.com or call us toll free.
Deus te abençoe. É uma alegria entrar em sua casa. Nós te amamos. Sabemos que Deus tem grandes coisas reservadas para você. Se você estiver em nossa área, eu espero que você possa parar aqui e fazer parte do nosso culto. Eu prometo que você vai se sentir em casa. Muito obrigado por estar nos ouvindo e obrigado de novo por estar aqui hoje. Eu gosto de começar com algo engraçado. Eu soube desse homem que era muito avarento com seu dinheiro. Pouco antes de sua morte, ele fez sua esposa prometer que o enterraria com 50 mil dólares que ele poupou. A esposa relutantemente concordou. No funeral, pouco antes deles fecharem o caixão, ela colocou uma pequena caixinha. A amiga dela disse, com certeza, você não acabou de enterrar o dinheiro, acabou? A esposa disse, é claro que eu enterrei. Eu sou uma cristã, eu não posso mentir, eu prometi que faria, então eu fiz. Ela disse, você quer dizer que você acabou de enterrar 50 mil dólares? A mulher disse, sim, eu fiz, eu escrevi um cheque. Certo, levantem suas Bíblias e repitam comigo. Essa é a minha Bíblia. Eu sou o que ela diz que eu sou, eu tenho o que ela diz que eu tenho, eu posso fazer o que ela diz que eu posso fazer. Hoje eu serei tocado pela palavra de Deus. Eu corajosamente confesso, minha mente está alerta, meu coração está receptivo, eu nunca mais serei o mesmo, em nome de Jesus. Deus te abençoe. Eu quero falar com vocês hoje sobre como Deus pode falar com nós, mesmo em nossas dúvidas. Às vezes nós pensamos que deveríamos ter uma fé perfeita, onde nunca duvidaríamos, onde nunca teríamos questionamentos, nunca ficaríamos desencorajados, nunca perguntaríamos por que algo está acontecendo. Se nós oscilamos, algo deve estar errado com a gente. Claro que Deus não pode fazer nada. Eu conversei com um cavalheiro que trabalhou em uma empresa por 36 anos. Ele estava na indústria bancária. Apenas alguns meses da aposentadoria, o seu banco foi vendido. Os novos proprietários reestruturaram tudo para que não fosse mais preciso a posição dele. Ele não somente perdeu seu emprego, mas perdeu também toda a sua aposentadoria, todos os seus benefícios. Ele estava perto dos 60 anos e ele disse, Joel, eu simplesmente não entendo como Deus pode deixar isso acontecer comigo. Claro, eu comecei com meus 2 minutos de conversa sobre como Deus está no controle, ele vai abrir outra porta. Então ele disse uma coisa que não sai da minha cabeça. Ele disse, eu quero acreditar, eu só queria não ter todas essas dúvidas. Ele disse isso como se estivesse se desculpando, como se ele estivesse sentindo muito mal por estar pensando aquilo. Aqui está o que eu quero te dizer. É normal ter dúvidas. É normal pensar porque algo aconteceu. Deus nunca espera que sejamos senhores e senhoras super acreditadores, que nunca tenhamos uma dúvida, que nunca fiquemos desencorajados, que nunca tenhamos perguntas. Isso não é a realidade. Eu ouvi alguém dizer, a presença da fé não significa a ausência da dúvida. Em outras palavras, nós podemos ter dúvidas em nossa cabeça, em nossos pensamentos, mas aqui embaixo, em nosso coração, que é o que conta, nós sabemos que Deus ainda está no controle. Nós sabemos que Deus é bom, mesmo que algo ruim tenha acontecido. Eu quero tirar a pressão de vocês. Deus entende como é estar errado. Ele sabe como é ver alguém saindo de uma relação. Ele sabe como é orar e orar, mas aquele seu amado não conseguiu. Deus não nos rotula. Ele não diz, olhe só para eles. Eles estão desanimados, estão duvidando. Eu pensei que eles confiavam em mim. Veja, se eu jamais fizesse algo para eles, não, é exatamente o oposto. Deus é movido pela nossa fé, mas às vezes é a nossa dúvida que atrai Deus para nós. Quando Jesus voltou da morte, ele apareceu para Maria e Marta no Jardim das Tumbas. Ele disse, vá dizer aos meus discípulos. A palavra rapidamente se espalhou que Jesus estava vivo. Todos estavam tão empolgados. Houve grande alegria entre todos os discípulos. Com todos, exceto uma pessoa. Tomé disse, espere um minuto, pessoal. Eu sou um crente. Eu amo Jesus. Eu sei que ele prometeu que voltaria à vida. E sim, eu entendo, aquelas mulheres disseram que o viram, mas a menos que eu veja com os meus próprios olhos, a menos que eu veja as marcas dos pregos em suas mãos, a menos que eu toque em sua cicatriz, em seu corpo, então eu não vou acreditar. Tomé passou tanto tempo com Jesus quanto os outros crentes. Poderia-se dizer que ele cresceu na igreja, ele foi à escola bíblica nas férias, ele sabia todas as escrituras. Lá no fundo, ele queria acreditar, mas sua mente estava cheia de dúvidas. Poucos dias depois, os discípulos estavam em um quarto, juntos, e de repente, Jesus veio andando pela porta. Eles pensaram que era um fantasma e logo reconheceram que era Jesus. O interessante é que Jesus não foi até Pedro e disse, olá. Ele não foi até Mateus e lhe deu um grande abraço. Ele não foi a João e disse, ei, eu estou de volta, é bom vê-lo. Não, Jesus foi direto onde estava Tomé. Ele não foi até as pessoas que tinham fé. Ele foi até o discípulo que tinha dúvida. Ele olhou nos olhos e disse, Tomé, eu ouvi que você disse sobre mim. Eu ouvi que você não acredita. Você tem perguntas, você tem dúvidas. E sabe, Tomé, está tudo bem. É por isso que eu vim até você primeiro. Agora, sinta as marcas de prego em minhas mãos. Toque nas cicatrizes do meu corpo. Tenha certeza disso, Tomé. Eu sou um Deus fiel. Eu vou fazer o que eu prometi. O que eu estou dizendo? Nossas dúvidas não afastam Deus. Ela não nos exclui e fecha a porta. Deus é tão misericordioso que, na verdade, aquelas dúvidas podem atrair Deus para nós. Quando passamos por coisas que não entendemos, alguém nos faz algo de errado, nós oramos, mas nosso amado não resistiu, nossa criança nasceu com necessidades especiais, usualmente nós pensamos que deveríamos ser o Superman, supermulheres, nunca derramar uma lágrima, nunca ficarmos desencorajados, nunca termos dúvida. Isso não é verdade. É normal dizer, Deus, eu orei e não funcionou. Deus, eu não estou entendendo. Eu estou sofrendo, eu tenho essas dúvidas e eu estou me perguntando onde você está. A Escritura diz que Deus é tocado pelos sentimentos das nossas enfermidades. Isso significa que quando você está sofrendo, Deus também está. Quando você está decepcionado, Deus sente sua dor. Quando você está desencorajado, Deus sabe como é. Ele já sentiu isso. Quando Jesus estava nos jardins do Getsemane, perto de ser crucificado, ele estava tão deprimido que ele suou grandes bolhas de sangue. Na cruz, ele disse, meu Deus, por que você me abandonou? Até mesmo Jesus, o Filho de Deus, um homem que nunca pecou, um homem que tem perfeita fé, até ele ficou tão desencorajado e tão desanimado que ele questionou seu Pai. Deus não disse, Jesus, você sabe que eu não te abandonei, você sabe que eu ainda estou no trono, você sabe que vai se levantar novamente, agora você precisa parar de pensar assim. Não, Deus sabia que ele não era humano, Deus sabia que ele tinha sentimentos, ele tinha emoções. Do mesmo jeito, é normal se sentir decepcionado. É normal dizer, Deus, eu sinto que você me abandonou. Eu não sei onde você está. Eu quero acreditar, mas Deus, eu tenho todas essas dúvidas. Deus é mais agradado quando nós somos abertos e honestos e quando chegamos diante dEle, mesmo com nossas dúvidas, nossas questões, coisas que não entendemos. Ele vai responder mais rápido do que quando tentamos esconder essas coisas, que Ele já sabe, e agimos como se fôssemos essa perfeita exibição de fé. Nunca ficamos desencorajados, nunca temos uma dúvida, nunca temos uma questão. Quando Jesus estava a caminho de ser crucificado, eles o fizeram carregar sua própria cruz. Ele foi tão abatido, tão maltratado, que não podia carregá-lo pelo caminho todo. Ele caiu pelo peso da cruz. Você sabia que Deus poderia ter lhe dado forças para terminar a jornada? Deus poderia ter lhe dado um segundo fôlego para que ele não caísse e não parecesse fraco e derrotado? Não, Deus estava enviando essa mensagem. Você não tem que ser forte 100% do tempo. Está tudo certo em cair. Está tudo bem em ter dúvida. Está tudo bem em dizer, Deus, eu não aguento mais. Às vezes, a cruz que estamos carregando fica pesada e nós pensamos, eu não posso criar essa criança, eu não posso ficar nesse casamento, eu não posso lidar com essa situação mais um dia. Essas vozes acusadoras vêm e tentam nos convencer de que se tivermos dúvida, se ficarmos desencorajados, se cairmos, Deus não vai fazer nada por você. Amigo, veja, você é fraco, você está no chão, você deixa a vida tirar o melhor de você. Não, sempre se lembre que mesmo Jesus não conseguiu carregar o peso de sua própria cruz. Perceba o que aconteceu. Quando ele caiu, Deus não deixou ali. Deus não disse, pior para você, Jesus, você deveria ter tido mais fé. Eu falei para não duvidar de mim. Não, Deus imediatamente mandou outro homem em seu caminho com o nome de Simão. E Simão carregou a cruz por ele. Aqui está o ponto. Quando você está desanimado, quando você tem dúvidas, quando você está desencorajado, Deus sempre vai mandar alguém para lhe ajudar a se levantar. Alguém para lhe encorajar. Alguém para lhe dizer que você vai conseguir. Pode ser a minha voz hoje, deixando você saber que está tudo bem em cair. Apenas se levante de novo. É muito bom ter dúvidas. Apenas não fique aí. Está tudo bem ficar decepcionado, apenas perceba que essa decepção não é o fim, mas é um novo começo. Deus ainda tem algo grande em seu futuro. Alguns anos atrás, alguns amigos nos ligaram de outro estado. Eles estavam esperando seu segundo filho, estavam tão empolgados com isso, mas quando o bebê nasceu, eles descobriram que ele tinha que ter cuidados especiais e que iria requerer muito cuidado extra. Esse casal acreditava muito em Deus. Eles cresceram na igreja, eles conheciam todas as escrituras, mas o bebê nascendo assim realmente abalou a fé deles. Eles começaram a ter essas perguntas, as coisas que eles não entendiam, coisas como, se Deus os amava tanto, como ele poderia deixar isso acontecer? Nós somos boas pessoas, por que não tivemos um bebê saudável? Eles disseram, Joel, eu quero acreditar. Nós sabemos o que é certo, mas estamos tão decepcionados, estamos sofrendo tanto, estamos nos perguntando, onde está Deus? Eles esperavam uma grande explicação de mim e eu lhes disse exatamente o que estou dizendo a vocês. Está tudo bem ficar decepcionado, está tudo bem ter questões. Fé não tem nada a ver com esconder tudo e tentar agir como se fossem super-humanos. Fé tem tudo a ver com ser real. Como Jesus na cruz, não tem nada de errado em dizer, Deus, por que você me abandonou? Deus, eu estou com o coração partido, eu estou sozinho. Deus, eu não estou entendendo por que isso está acontecendo. Quando você é real com Deus e é honesto o suficiente para até mesmo expressar suas dúvidas, essas dúvidas não afastam a Deus. Farão exatamente o contrário. Trarão Deus para perto de você. Eu continuei dizendo a esse casal, esse bebê nascer em sua família não é um erro, não é um acidente. Deus escolheu você porque confiou em você para criar essa criança. Ele tem necessidades especiais, mas Deus sabe que vocês têm dons especiais. Ele vai precisar de cuidado extra, só que Deus sabe que vocês são pessoas extraordinárias. Vocês não estão sendo punidos. Deus não está dizendo a você que você está fazendo algo de errado. Não, isso é apenas mais um capítulo em sua vida, que Deus já te equipou para isso. Às vezes, no caminho do nosso destino divino, no caminho em que a cruz fica tão pesada que caímos, Nós não sabemos por que alguém sai de um relacionamento, ou como aquele homem que eu mencionei, por que ele foi despedido tão perto de sua aposentadoria, ou porque oramos e oramos, mas aquele amado não resistiu. Você pode ter perguntas, coisas que você não entende, você se pergunta que Deus não está com a gente só nos tempos de mais fé, mas Ele está com nós em nossos tempos de dúvida. Ele não é um tipo de Deus de pena, lá por nós quando somos perfeitos e vai embora quando não somos. Ele não fala conosco apenas quando estamos no topo da montanha cantando "O Senhor é bom" e lendo "O momento é este". Não, Deus diz: eu vou falar com você da mesma forma se você estivesse sozinho e desencorajado. Eu vou falar com você quando você estiver chateado e sentir que eu te deixei. Eu vou aparecer não somente por causa da sua fé, mas eu sou muito misericordioso. Eu também vou aparecer quando você estiver com dúvida. Eu quero que você deixe a pressão de lado. Nós não precisamos sair por aí pensando que entendemos tudo, que nunca tivemos dúvida, que nunca pensamos algo errado, nunca ficamos desencorajados. Não. Até Jesus desanimou. Até Jesus disse: Deus, eu não quero ir dessa forma, deixe-me ir de outra forma. Deus, por que você me abandonou? O que eu estou fazendo aqui em cima na cruz? Em outras palavras, Deus, por que essa situação não deu certo? Deus, por que essas pessoas estão me tratando mal? Está tudo certo em sermos humanos. Porque essa dúvida não está em seu coração, está aqui em cima, em sua cabeça. E Deus tem uma maravilhosa habilidade de passar pela dúvida e ver a fé que está por dentro. Para algumas pessoas, essa dúvida é como um martelo. Eles têm coisas acontecendo que não entendem, coisas que não são justas. Talvez eles não cresceram em um ambiente de crentes. E eu amo isso, que Deus colocou proporções de fé em cada pessoa. Isso significa que pessoas que não dão a Deus um tempo do dia, eles não acreditam, são cínicas, parece que estão cheios de dúvidas, mas o que elas não percebem é que por dentro, lá no fundo, o Criador do Universo colocou uma semente de fé. Por isso é muito importante nunca deixar ninguém de lado. Aquela pessoa no escritório que é sarcástica, tira um sarro de você por você ir à igreja, pega no seu pé porque você está no caminho certo. Pode parecer que eles estão cheios de dúvidas. Claramente, Deus não teria nada para fazer com eles. Não. Deus disse: esse é um outro Tomé. Eu vou até vocês, pessoas de fé, por um momento. Agora eu vou atrás deles. Nem sempre faz sentido para a nossa teologia, mas às vezes Deus passa pelas pessoas de fé para ir atrás das pessoas cheias de dúvidas. Eu conheço uma mulher que me disse que a vida inteira ela foi uma ateia. Ela não acreditou em Deus, não foi criada em um ambiente religioso, realmente não dava a Deus um tempo no dia. Mas em uma manhã, sua filha, que tinha cerca de 20 anos, foi envolvida em um sério acidente de carro. Essa mãe correu para um hospital tão estressada, tão preocupada. Ela teve a notícia de que sua filha provavelmente não conseguiria. Ela ficou ao seu lado dia após dia, não saía do hospital. Infelizmente, os médicos disseram que os ferimentos eram muito graves e que a sua filha havia morrido. Ela dirigiu até sua casa, entrou na garagem e, enquanto ela ainda estava sentada em seu carro, ela gritou o mais alto que pôde: Deus, eu te odeio, eu te odeio, eu te odeio. Ela disse que ouviu uma voz. Era a mais bondosa e mais gentil voz que você possa imaginar. Essa voz disse: essa foi a primeira vez que você falou comigo e eu quero lhe dizer o quanto eu amo você. Ela disse: eu nunca acreditei em Deus antes, mas nesse momento não havia nenhuma dúvida em minha mente de que Deus era real. Eu sentia a paz que eu nunca havia sentido antes. Eu sabia que era a presença do Criador do Universo. Aquilo foi Deus indo além de anos e anos de dúvidas por aquela pequena semente de fé. Nós todos sabemos que Deus é movido pela nossa fé. Esse é o melhor lugar para se viver. Mas o que eu estou dizendo hoje é que Deus pode ser movido pela nossa dúvida. Naqueles tempos que nós não entendemos, nós temos perguntas, nós nos sentimos sozinhos e abandonados. É quando Deus tem um jeito de aparecer e fazer algo maravilhoso em nossa vida. É exatamente isso que aconteceu com Tomé. No meio de todos aqueles crentes, Jesus foi até Tomé, primeiro, o único duvidoso, e disse: Tomé, olhe para as minhas marcas de pregos nas mãos. A razão pela qual Jesus apareceu naqueles tempos de dúvida foi para que a nossa fé fosse restaurada. Ele poderia ter dito àquela mulher: pior para você, é o que você ganhou depois de não me dar valor. Grite o quanto você quiser, agora é hora do troco. Não, Deus é cheio de misericórdia. Ele sabe como é perder uma criança. Ele perdeu seu único filho. Deus não está no negócio de nos dar o que merecemos. Se esse fosse o caso, Tomé não teria chance. Ou ele não deixaria essa moça sentir esse amor. Deus está no negócio de restaurar nossa fé. Ele está no negócio de nos colocar novamente nos trilhos, para que possamos viver como crentes, experimentar uma vida de abundância. Alguns de vocês hoje têm perguntas, coisas que não entendem. Se sentem mal porque não estão em fé 100% do tempo. Mas Deus está dizendo: está tudo bem, você é humano, você não tem que ter a fé perfeita. Não, há nada de errado em dizer: Deus, eu não estou entendendo. Como Tomé, essas questões, essas dúvidas, não vão manter Deus longe. Vão trazer Deus até você. Ele não vai te deixar se perguntando, confuso, desencorajado. Ele vai aparecer para que a sua fé seja restaurada. Eu ouvi Jensen Franklin dizendo algo que aconteceu com ele. Jensen é um bom amigo, um grande pastor. Ele pastoreia Free Chapel em Atlanta. Quando sua filha era menor, ele e sua esposa Cherise decidiram ir a SeaWorld na Flórida. Ele se programou para sair na segunda-feira e eles estariam no parque na terça. Mas por algum motivo, Cherise queria sair no domingo, depois da igreja. Jensen disse: mas eu fiz as reservas do voo, as reservas do hotel, eu teria que mudar tudo. Ela se sentiu tão confiante sobre aquilo, ele fez as mudanças e eles saíram no domingo. E foram até o parque na segunda, ao invés de na terça. Em um ponto, eles estavam na parte de fora da arena, esperando o show do golfinho começar. Era um dia bonito, um perfeito dia de sol. De repente, do nada, houve um grande estrondo. Foi tão alto que todo mundo praticamente pulou de seus assentos. Poucos momentos antes deles saberem o que era, estava caindo água e relampejando. Claro que todos correram para se abrigar. Enquanto eles estavam ajoelhados embaixo das arquibancadas, houve outro estrondo. Jensen, Cherise e sua filha de 3 anos ficaram muito assustados. E ao invés de virarem para os seus pais, ela virou na direção de uma moça de 25 anos, que eles nunca tinham visto antes, que estava a cerca de 4 metros e meio de distância, e lhe deu um grande abraço e segurou e não deixou ela ir. Jensen e Cherise se olharam, foi uma coisa estranha. Eles não sabiam quem aquela jovem era e por que sua filha correria até ela. Normalmente, sua filha nunca corria em direção a um estranho assim. Eles foram até ela muito educadamente e tentaram pegar sua filha, mas ela não a largava. A jovem começou a chorar. Seus pais estavam ali e eles começaram a chorar também. Então eles descobriram que aquela jovem tinha uma filha de 3 anos que nasceu com insuficiência cardíaca e que 6 semanas antes sua filha tinha morrido. Ela não saiu de casa durante essas 6 semanas porque ficou muito decepcionada. E aquele dia seus pais a convenceram de ir ao parque. Ela disse que depois, que quando aquela pequena criança me segurava, por todo o tempo eu pude sentir cura sendo derramada em mim. Deus estava me deixando saber que a minha pequena garota está lá em cima no céu e eu pude seguir em frente com a minha vida. Isso foi Deus falando com ela, não em sua fé, mas em suas dúvidas. Sabe o que Jensen e sua filha de 3 anos eram? Elas eram um Simão, ajudando a jovem a carregar a sua cruz. Algumas vezes, Deus sabe que passamos por coisas que não entendemos. Em nossa mente, em nossa cabeça, nós pensamos: Deus, como isso pode acontecer? Deus, onde está você? Mas em nossos corações, Deus pode ver aquelas sementes de fé que Ele plantou dentro de nós. Como essa jovem, Deus nunca nos abandonou. Ele nunca disse: que pena, você deveria ter sido forte, você deveria ter tido mais fé. Não, Deus sempre vai aparecer e restaurar nossa fé. Nos tempos de dificuldades, como Jesus, a cruz estava tão pesada que ele caiu. Ou como Tomé, Ele queria acreditar, mas ele não podia até ver com seus próprios olhos, ou como essa jovem. Estava tão desencorajada que nem queria sair de casa. Você pode ter certeza de que não está sozinho. O Deus que nós servimos não aparece só nos tempos de fé. Ele também aparece nos tempos de dúvida. Eu me lembro de meu pai. Por mais de 40 anos, ele ensinou as pessoas sobre como Deus pode curar você. Ele viu minha irmã Lisa ser curada de paralisia cerebral. Ele viu minha mãe ser curada em 1981 de câncer terminal. Ele orou por muitas outras pessoas e viu Deus fazer coisas incríveis. Mas uma coisa que meu pai nunca entendeu completamente, que apesar de todas as outras pessoas serem curadas, por toda a sua vida, ele batalhou com sua pressão alta. E, na verdade, foi isso que fez com que seus rins eventualmente falhassem e ele teve que entrar na diálise. Houve tempos em que ele pensou, Deus, você está fazendo por todos os outros, por que não faz por mim? Deus, isso não parece justo. Cadê você quando eu preciso? Houve tempos que aqueles pensamentos de dúvidas vieram e tentaram impedi-lo de seguir adiante. Meu pai era muito aberto e honesto. Ele nunca tentou esconder nada. E é o jeito que ele terminou sua vida. Ele tinha 77 anos de idade e ele não conseguiu dormir uma noite. Ele estava sentado na sua poltrona, perto da meia-noite. Ele chamou meu cunhado, Gary, para ver se poderia visitá-lo. E eles conversaram por algumas horas. E um ponto, Gary perguntou sobre sofrimento e pelo que ele estava passando e onde estava Deus em tudo isso. Meu pai disse, Gary, eu não entendo tudo isso. Eu tenho várias perguntas, mas uma coisa eu sei, é que a misericórdia de Deus dura para sempre. Ele respirou mais uma vez, deitou sua cabeça e foi ter com o Senhor. As últimas palavras que ele falou foram que sua misericórdia durava para sempre. Mas meu pai poderia ter pensado, eu fui pastor por todos esses anos. Eu não posso admitir que eu tenho perguntas, que tenho dúvidas, que tenho coisas que eu não entendo. Não, meu pai era honesto. Deus não está procurando por algum super crente que tenha resposta para cada pergunta, que nunca pergunta por que algo está acontecendo. Ele não está procurando pela senhorita super crente que nunca fica desencorajada, sempre age como se tudo estivesse bem, tenta esconder cada dúvida, toda questão. Não, Deus está procurando pessoas que são abertas e honestas o bastante para dizer, Deus, eu não entendo isso. Senhor, eu quero acreditar, mas eu tenho essas dúvidas. Deus, estou lhe pedindo para me ajudar. Se tivermos esse tipo de atitude, então, como Tomé, Deus vai sondá-lo e vai restaurar a sua fé. Por que você não tira essa pressão? Alguns de vocês estão quebrando a cabeça porque estão tendo uma semana difícil, ficam desencorajados, disseram, Deus, eu não aguento mais. Ouça, Deus sabe pelo que você está passando. Ele pode sentir o peso que você está carregando. Ele está dizendo hoje, eu estou bem aqui com você. Você vai conseguir. Você não vai somente sair dessa, vai sair melhor do que estava antes. Seja encorajado hoje. O Deus que servimos não está conosco só em tempos de fé, mas também está com nós em tempos de dúvidas. Alguns de vocês precisam voltar para aquele lugar de paz. Você está tão desanimado consigo mesmo, pensando que não é forte o bastante, se perguntando por que você tem essas questões. Agora se lembre, a presença da fé não significa a ausência da dúvida. Você não tem que ter a fé perfeita para Deus fazer algo grande em sua vida. Além do que, essa dúvida não está em seu coração, mas sim em sua cabeça. E Deus está olhando bem aqui para o seu coração. O que eu estou dizendo hoje é que está tudo bem ter questões. Está tudo bem dizer, Deus, eu não estou entendendo. Está tudo bem não ser forte 100% do tempo. Se você se der permissão de não ter uma fé perfeita e não se sentir mal se você tiver questões, algumas dúvidas, algumas coisas que você não entende, então você sentirá uma liberdade que nunca sentiu antes. Esse jeito de sentir que Deus não está contente comigo, eu não sou forte o bastante, eu não estou no padrão, isso não exclui você. E o que ele fez por Tomé fará por você. Nesses tempos de dúvida, ao invés dele se afastar de você, ele vai se aproximar de você. Ele promete que vai restaurar sua fé e para que você possa seguir em frente e se tornar tudo que ele tem para você se tornar e ter tudo que ele tem para você ter. Amém? Vocês recebem essa mensagem hoje? Nós nunca gostamos de fechar nossa apresentação sem lhe dar a oportunidade de deixar Jesus ser o Senhor da sua vida. Você pode orar comigo? Apenas diga: Senhor Jesus, eu me arrependo dos meus pecados. Entre no meu coração. Eu farei meu Senhor e Salvador. Amigos, se você fizer essa simples oração, nós acreditamos que você nasceu de novo. Encontre uma boa igreja baseada na Bíblia, mantenha Deus em primeiro lugar e Ele vai levar você a lugares que você nunca imaginou.
Trouble, challenges and difficulty appear to different people in different ways. When you find yourself facing an unforeseen adversity, it's important to remember to stay diligent with what you have. God's desire isn't just to bring you through a challenge. His desire is that you come out better than you were before. He wants to reward you by making something great out of what seems hopeless. As a thank you for your support of our ministry this month, Joel and Victoria would like to send you a copy of Double for Your Trouble, God's Reward for Staying in Faith.
God promises if we'll stay in faith, He'll not only bring us through every challenge, but He'll even bring us out better off than we were before. That's what we're believing for each one of you. Know this, on the other side of every difficulty, God has a new level of His favor. That's why we have challenges many times and they stop people, but don't let it be you. Keep pressing forward. We love you. We pray for you every single day. I know God has great things in your future. Thanks so much for praying for us, for your support. We couldn't take the ministry around the world without generous people just like you.
Remember, God said He wouldn't withhold anything from those who walk uprightly. So today, God's got everything you need. He's got the right people. He's got the finances. He's got the opportunity. He's not going to withhold anything that you need. That doesn't mean we're not going to have challenges. We're not going to face some things. But whatever we need, God's going to be right there to help us. So remember today, God has blessed you. You are strong. You are focused. You are determined. And you're going to have a great week.
To request your copy of Double for Your Trouble, God's Reward for Staying in Faith, visit joelosteen.com or call us toll-free. Trouble, challenges, and difficulty appear to different people in different ways. When you find yourself facing an unforeseen adversity, it's important to remember to stay diligent with what you have. God's desire isn't just to bring you through a challenge. His desire is that you come out better than you were before. He wants to reward you by making something great out of what seems hopeless. As a thank you for your support of our ministry this month, Joel and Victoria would like to send you a copy of Double for Your Trouble, God's Reward for Staying in Faith.
God promises if we'll stay in faith, He'll not only bring us through every challenge, but He'll even bring us out better off than we were before. That's what we're believing for each one of you. Know this, on the other side of every difficulty, God has a new level of His favor. That's why we have challenges many times and they stop people, but don't let it be you. Keep pressing forward. We love you. We pray for you every single day. I know God has great things in your future. Thanks so much for praying for us, for your support. We couldn't take the ministry around the world without generous people just like you.
Remember, God said He wouldn't withhold anything from those who walk uprightly. So today, God's got everything you need. He's got the right people. He's got the finances. He's got the opportunity. He's not going to withhold anything that you need. That doesn't mean we're not going to have challenges. We're not going to face some things. But whatever we need, God's going to be right there to help us. So remember today, God has blessed you. You are strong. You are focused. You are determined. And you're going to have a great week.
To request your copy of Double for Your Trouble, God's Reward for Staying in Faith, visit joelosteen.com or call us toll free. Discover the champion
in you. Well, God bless you. It's always a joy to come into your homes. We love you. We know God has great things in store. And if you're ever in our area, I hope you'll stop by and be a part of one of our services. I promise you, we'll make you feel right at home. But thank you so much for tuning in. Thanks again for coming out today. I'd like to start with something funny. And I heard about this man that was very stingy with his money. And just before his death, he made his wife promise that she would have him buried with the $50,000 he had saved. The wife reluctantly agreed.
At the funeral, just before they closed the casket, she slipped in a small wooden box. Her friend said, "Surely you didn't just bury the money, did you?" The wife said, "Of course I did. I'm a Christian. I can't lie. I promised him I would do it, so I did it." She said, "You mean you just buried $50,000? The wife said, "Yes, I did. I wrote a check."
Hold up your Bible. Say it like you mean it. This is my Bible. I am what it says I am. I have what it says I have. I can do what it says I can do. Today, I will be taught the Word of God. I boldly confess, my mind is alert. My heart is receptive. I will never be the same. In Jesus' name, God bless you.
I want to talk to you today about how God can speak to us even in our doubts. Sometimes we think we're supposed to have a perfect faith where we never doubt, we never have a question, we never get discouraged, we never wonder why something has happened. If we waver at all, something must be wrong with us. Surely God couldn't do anything. I talked to a gentleman that had worked for a company for 36 years. He was in the banking industry just a few months from retirement, and the bank sold. The new owners restructured everything to where they didn't need his position anymore. He not only lost his job, but he lost all of his retirement, all of his benefits. He's in his late 50s. He said, "Joel, I just don't understand how God could let this happen to me." Of course, I went into my two-minute pep talk about how God is in control and he's going to open up another door. Then he said something that stuck with me. He said, "I want to believe, I just wish I didn't have all these doubts." He said it almost like he was apologizing, like he felt so badly for thinking that way. Here's what I want to tell you. It's okay to have questions. It's okay to wonder why something has happened. God doesn't expect us to be Mr. and Mrs. Superbeliever that never has a doubt, never gets discouraged, never has a question. That's not reality. And I heard somebody say, the presence of faith doesn't mean the absence of doubt. In other words, we may have doubt up here in our head, in our thinking, but down here in our hearts, where it counts, we know God is still in control. We know God is good, even though something bad may have happened. Now I want to take the pressure off. God understands what it's like to be wronged. He knows what it's like to have someone walk out of a relationship. He knows how it feels to pray and pray, but your loved one didn't make it. And God doesn't write us off and say, "Look at them, they're down, they're doubting. I thought they trusted me. See if I ever do anything for them." No, it's just the opposite. God is moved by our faith, but sometimes it's our doubt that will actually draw God to us. When Jesus rose from the dead, he appeared to Mary and Martha at the garden tomb. And he said, "Go tell my disciples." Word quickly got out that Jesus was alive. Everyone was so excited. There was great joy among all the disciples, all that is, except one person. Thomas said, "Wait a minute, guys. I'm a believer. I love Jesus. I know he promised that he would come back to life. Yes, I understand those women said that they've seen him, but unless I see him with my own eyes, unless I feel the nail prints in his hands, unless I touch the scars in his side, then I'm not going to believe." Here, Thomas had spent just as much time with Jesus as the other believers. You might say he grew up in church. He went to vacation Bible school. He knew all the scriptures. Deep down, he wanted to believe. But in his mind, it was filled with doubts. A few days later, the disciples were in a room together. All of a sudden, Jesus came walking through the door. They thought it was a ghost, and soon they recognized it was Jesus. What's interesting is Jesus didn't go over to Peter and say hello. He didn't go over to Matthew and give him a big hug. He didn't go over to John and say, "Hey, I'm back. It's great to see you." No, Jesus headed straight toward Thomas. He didn't go to the people that had faith. He went to the one disciple that had doubt. He looked him in the eyes and said, "Thomas, I've heard what you've said about me.
I've heard you don't believe. You have questions, you have doubts. And you know what, Thomas? That's okay. That's why I've come to you first. Now feel the nail prints in my hands. Touch the scars on my side. Be assured of this, Thomas. I'm a faithful God, and I will do what I've promised. What am I saying? Our doubts don't drive God away. He doesn't write us off and close the door. God is so merciful, those doubts can actually draw God to us. When we go through things we don't understand, somebody does us wrong, we prayed and our loved one didn't make it, our child is born with special needs, so often we think we're supposed to be Superman, Superwoman, and never shed a tear, never get discouraged, never have a doubt. That's not true. It's okay to say, God, I prayed and it didn't work out. God, I don't understand it. I'm hurting. I have these doubts. I'm wondering where you are. The scripture says, God is touched by the feelings of our infirmities. That means when you hurt, God hurts. When you're disappointed, God feels your pain. When you're discouraged, God knows what it's like. He's been there. When Jesus was in the Garden of Gethsemane, about to be crucified, he was so depressed that he sweat great drops of blood. On the cross, he cried out, my God, why have you forsaken me? Even Jesus, the Son of God, a man that never sinned, a man that had perfect faith, he even got so discouraged and so despondent that he questioned his Father. God didn't say, Jesus, you know I haven't forsaken you. You know I'm still on the throne. You know you're going to rise again. Now you need to quit thinking like that. No, God knew that he was human. God knew that he had feelings. He had emotions. In the same way, it's okay to feel disappointed. It's okay to say, God, I feel like you've forsaken me. I don't know where you are. I want to believe, but God, I have all these doubts. God is more pleased when we are open and honest, and we come before him even with our doubts, our questions, the things we don't understand. He'll respond to that quicker than when we try to hide all these things that he already knows, and we try to act like we're this perfect display of faith that's never been discouraged, never had a doubt, never had a question. When Jesus was on his way to be crucified, they made him carry his own cross. He had been so beaten down and so mistreated, he couldn't carry it the whole way. He fell down under the weight of his cross. Don't you know, God could have strengthened him to finish the journey? God could have given him a second wind so he wouldn't have fallen down and looked weak and defeated. No, God was sending this message. You don't have to be strong 100% of the time. It's okay to fall down. It's okay to have a doubt. It's okay to say, God, I can't take this anymore. Sometimes the cross we're carrying can get heavy. We think, I can't raise this child. I can't stay in this marriage. I can't deal with this legal situation another day. And those accusing voices will come and try to convince us that if we've ever had a doubt, if we've ever gotten discouraged, if we've ever fallen, then God's not going to do anything for you, man. Look, you're weak. You're on the ground. You're letting life get the best of you. No, always remember, even Jesus couldn't carry the weight of his own cross. Notice what happened. When he fell down, God didn't leave him there. God didn't say, too bad, Jesus, you should have had more faith. I told you not to doubt me. No, God immediately sent another man across his path by the name of Simon. And Simon carried the cross for him. Here's the point. When you're down, when you have doubts, when you're discouraged, God will always send somebody to help you back up, somebody to encourage you, somebody to tell you that you're going to make it. It may be my voice today letting you know that it's okay to fall, just get back up again. It's okay to have doubts, just don't stay there. It's okay to be disappointed. Just realize That disappointment is not the end, it's a new beginning. God still has something great in your future. Several years ago, some friends called from another state. They were expecting their second child and so excited about it. But when the baby was born, they discovered that she had special needs and was going to require a lot of extra care. This couple were strong believers. They had grown up in church. They knew all the scriptures. But this baby being born like that really rocked their faith. They began to have these questions and things that they didn't understand. Things like, if God loved us so much, how could He let this happen? We're good people. Why didn't we have a healthy baby? They said, Joel, we want to believe. We know the right thing, but we're so disappointed. We're hurting so badly, we're wondering where God is. And they were expecting some great explanation from me, but I told them just what I'm telling you. It's okay to feel disappointed. It's okay to have questions. Faith is not about hiding everything and trying to act like we're superhuman. Faith is about being real. Like Jesus on the cross, there's nothing wrong with saying, God, why have you forsaken me? God, I'm heartbroken. I'm lonely. God, I don't understand why this has happened. When you are real with God and you're honest enough to even express your doubts, those doubts will not drive God away. It'll do just the opposite. It'll draw God closer to you. Now, I went on to tell this couple, that baby being born to your family is not a mistake. It's not an accident. God chose you because He trusted you to raise this child. She has special needs, but God knows you have special gifts. She's going to take extraordinary care, but God knows both of you are extraordinary people. You're not being punished. God is not telling you you've done something wrong. No, this is just another chapter in your life that God has already equipped you for. And sometimes on the way to our divine destiny, the weight of the cross gets so heavy that we fall down. We don't know why somebody walked out of a relationship. Or like the man I mentioned, why he got laid off so close to retirement. Or why we prayed and prayed, but our loved one didn't make it. You may have questions, things you don't understand. You wonder where God is. But the good news is, God is not just with us in our times of faith, but He is with us even in our times of doubt. He is not a fair-weathered God, there for us when we're perfect and gone when we're not. He doesn't just speak to us when we're on the mountaintop, singing You Are Good, reading your best life now. No, God says, I'll speak to you just as much when you're alone and discouraged. I'll talk to you when you're upset and you feel like I've left you. I'll show up not just because of your faith, but I'm so merciful, I'll even show up because of your doubt. I want us to take the pressure off. We don't have to go around acting like we've got it all figured out. We never have a doubt. We never think a wrong thought. We never get discouraged. No, even Jesus fell down. Even Jesus said, God, I don't want to go this route. Let me go another way. God, why have you forsaken me? What am I doing up here on the cross? In other words, God, why did this situation not work out? God, why did these people treat me wrong? It's okay to be human, because that doubt is not in your heart, it's up here in your head. And God has the amazing ability to look past the doubt and to see the faith that's on the inside. For some people, that doubt is a mile high. They've had things happen they don't understand, things that were not fair. Maybe they weren't raised in a believing environment. But I love this. It says that God has put a measure of faith on the inside of every person. That means people that don't give God the time of day. They don't believe. They're cynical. They look like they're full of doubt. But what they don't realize is on the inside, deep down, the Creator of the universe has placed a mustard seed of faith. This is why it's so important to never write anybody off. That person at the office that's sarcastic, makes fun of you for going to church, gives you a hard time for staying on the high road. It may seem like they are full of doubt. Surely God wouldn't have anything to do with them. No, God says, there's another Thomas. I'll get to you people full of faith in just a moment. Right now, I'm going after them. It doesn't always make sense to our theology, but sometimes God will bypass the people of faith so he can go after one person that's filled with doubt. I had a lady tell me how her whole life she had been an atheist. She didn't believe in God, wasn't raised in a religious environment, really didn't even give God the time of day. But one morning, her daughter, she was in her early 20s, was involved in a serious car accident. This mother rushed to the hospital, so stressed and so worried. She got the news that her daughter probably would not make it. She stayed by her side day after day, wouldn't leave the hospital. Unfortunately, the doctors told her that the injuries were too great and her daughter had died. She drove home, pulled in the garage. While she was still sitting in her car, she screamed out to the top of her lungs, "God, I hate you, I hate you, I hate you." She said she heard a voice. It was the kindest, most gentle voice you could ever imagine. It said, "That was the first time you've ever spoken to me, and I want to tell you how much I loved you." She said, "I never believed in God before, but at that moment, there was no doubt in my mind that God was real. I felt a peace that I never felt before. I knew it was the presence of the Creator of the universe." That was God looking beyond years and years of doubt to that one small seed of faith. And we all know that God is moved by our faith. That's the best place to live. But what I'm saying today is God can even be moved by our doubt. In those times that we don't understand it, we have questions, we feel alone and abandoned, that's when God has a way of showing up and doing something amazing in our life. That's just what happened to Thomas. In the midst of all those believers, Jesus went to Thomas first, the one doubter, and said, "Thomas, take a look at my nailed, scarred hands." And the reason Jesus shows up in those times of doubt is so that our faith will be restored. He could have said to that lady, "Too bad. That's what you get for not giving me the time of day. Scream all you want to. It's payback time." No, God is full of mercy. He knows what it's like to lose a child. He lost his only son. And God is not in the business of giving us what we deserve. If that was the case, Thomas wouldn't have had a chance, or he wouldn't have let this lady feel his love. God is in the business of restoring our faith. He's in the business of getting us back on track so we can live as a believer and experience his abundant life. And some of you today, you have questions, things that you don't understand, and you feel badly because you're not in faith 100% of the time. But God is saying, "That's okay. You're human. You don't have to have a perfect faith." There's nothing wrong with saying, "God, I just don't understand it." Like Thomas, those questions, that seemingly doubt is not going to keep God away. It's going to draw God to you. He is not going to leave you wondering, confused, discouraged. He's going to show up so that your faith will be restored. I heard Jensen Franklin tell something that happened to him. Jensen is a good friend and a great minister. He's the pastor of Free Chapel in Atlanta. When his daughters were much younger, he and his wife Charisse decided to go to SeaWorld in Florida. He had already made arrangements to leave on Monday, and they would be at the park on Tuesday. But for some reason, Charisse really wanted to leave Sunday after church. Jensen said, "Well, I've already made the flight reservations and the hotel reservations. I'd have to change everything." She felt so strongly about it, he made the changes. They left Sunday and went to the park on Monday instead of Tuesday. And at one point, they were at this outdoor arena waiting for the dolphin show to begin. It's a perfectly beautiful, sunny day. All of a sudden, out of nowhere, there was this huge clap of thunder. It was so loud, everyone practically jumped out of their seats. And a few moments before they knew it, it was pouring down rain and lightning like nothing they'd ever imagined. Of course, everyone ran for cover. While they were underneath the bleachers, there was another very loud clap of thunder. Jensen and Charisse's little 3-year-old daughter got very scared. And instead of turning to their parents, she ran to a 25-year-old girl that they'd never seen before, about 15 feet away, and gave her a big hug and held on to her and wouldn't let her go. Jensen and Charisse looked at each other. It was the strangest thing. They didn't know who the young lady was and why their daughter would be drawn to her. Normally, their daughter would never go to a stranger like that. They went over very politely and tried to get the daughter away, but she just wouldn't let go. The young lady began weeping. Her parents were there, and they started weeping as well. Come to find out, that young lady had a 3-year-old daughter that was born with congestive heart failure, and just 6 weeks earlier, her daughter had died. She had not been out of the house in those 6 weeks because she was so depressed. That day, her parents talked her into going to the park. She said later, "When your little daughter was hugging me, the whole time I could feel healing being poured into me. God was letting me know that my little girl is up there in heaven and I can move forward with my life." That was God speaking to her, not in her faith, but in her doubts. You know what Jensen's little 3-year-old daughter was? She was a Simon helping her to carry her cross. Sometimes God knows we go through things that we don't understand. In our mind, in our head, we think, "God, how could this happen? God, where are you?" But in our hearts, God can see those seeds of faith that He's planted on the inside. Like this young lady, God will never abandon us. He'll never say, "Well, too bad, you should be stronger, you should have more faith." No, God will always show up and help to restore our faith. In those difficult times, we're like Jesus. The cross is so heavy that we fall down. Or like Thomas, we want to believe, we just can't until we see it with our own eyes. Or like this young lady, we're so discouraged, we don't even want to leave the house. You can rest assured you are not alone. The God we serve doesn't just show up in our times of faith. He even shows up in our times of doubt. I remember my father, for more than 40 years, he preached to people about how God could heal you. He saw my sister Lisa healed of something like cerebral palsy, a birth injury. And of course, he saw my mother healed in 1981 of terminal cancer. And he prayed for many other people and saw God do amazing things. But one thing my father never fully understood, in spite of all those other people being healed, his whole life, he struggled with high blood pressure. In fact, that's what caused his kidneys eventually to fail, where he had to go on dialysis. And there were times he thought, "God, you're doing it for everybody else. Why don't you do it for me? God, this doesn't seem fair. Where are you when I need you?" There were times those thoughts of doubt came and tried to keep him from moving forward. But my father was very open and honest. He never tried to hide anything. And I love the way he finished his life. He was 77 years old and he couldn't sleep one night. He was sitting up in his recliner around midnight. He called my brother-in-law, Gary, to see if he'd come over and visit with him. And they talked for a couple of hours. And at one point, Gary asked about suffering and what he was going through and where is God in all of this. My father said, "Gary, I don't understand it all. I have plenty of questions, but one thing I know is God's mercy endures forever." He took one more breath, laid back his head, and went to be with the Lord. The last words he ever spoke were, "His mercy endures forever." But my father could have thought, "I've been a pastor all these years. I can't admit that I have questions, that I have doubts, that I have things that I don't understand." No, my father was real. And God is not looking for Mr. Super Believer that has an answer to every question and that never wonders why something has happened. He's not looking for Mrs. Super Believer that never gets discouraged, always acts like everything's okay, tries to hide every doubt, every question. No, God is looking for people that are open and honest enough to say, "God, I don't understand this. Lord, I want to believe, but I have these doubts. God, I'm asking you to help me." If we will have that kind of attitude, then like Thomas, God will search you out and come restore your faith. Why don't you take the pressure off? Some of you are beating yourself up because you had a down week. You got discouraged. You said, God, I can't take it anymore. Listen, God knows what you're going through. He can feel the weight of what you're carrying. He's saying today, I'm right there with you. You're going to make it. You're not only going to come out, you're going to come out better off than you were before. Be encouraged today. The God we serve is not just with us in our times of faith, but He's even with us in our times of doubt. And some of you need to come back to that place of peace. You're so down on yourself, thinking that you're not strong enough, wondering why you have these questions. No, remember, the presence of faith doesn't mean the absence of doubt. You don't have to have a perfect faith in order for God to do something great in your life. Besides, that doubt is not in your heart, it's in your head, and God is looking down here at your heart. And what I'm saying today is it's okay to have questions. It's okay to say, God, I don't understand it. It's okay to not be strong 100% of the time. And if you'll give yourself permission to not have a perfect faith and not feel bad if you have questions, some doubts, some things you don't understand, then you will feel a freedom that you haven't felt before. That weight of feeling like God is not pleased with me, I'm just not strong enough, I'm not measuring up, that'll lift off of you. And what God did for Thomas, He'll do for you. In those times of doubt, instead of running from you, God will come running to you. He's promised He will restore your faith so that you can move forward and become everything He's created you to be and have everything He's intended for you to have. Amen. Do you receive that today? Well, we never like to close our broadcast without giving you an opportunity to make Jesus the Lord of your life. Would you pray with me? Just say, Lord Jesus, I repent of my sins. Come into my heart. I make you my Lord and Savior. Friends, if you prayed that simple prayer, we believe you got born again. Get in a good Bible-based church. Keep God first place. He's going to take you places that you've never dreamed of.
Trouble, challenges, and difficulty appear to different people in different ways. When you find yourself facing an unforeseen adversity, it's important to remember to stay diligent with what you have. God's desire isn't just to bring you through a challenge. His desire is that you come out better than you were before. He wants to reward you by making something great out of what seems hopeless. As a thank you for your support of our ministry this month, Joel and Victoria would like to send you a copy of Double for Your Trouble, God's Reward for Staying in Faith.
God promises if we'll stay in faith, He'll not only bring us through every challenge, but He'll even bring us out better off than we were before. That's what we're believing for each one of you. Know this, on the other side of every difficulty, God has a new level of His favor. That's why we have challenges many times and they stop people, but don't let it be you. Keep pressing forward. We love you. We pray for you every single day. I know God has great things in your future. Thanks so much for praying for us, for your support. We couldn't take the ministry around the world without generous people just like you.
Remember, God said He wouldn't withhold anything from those who walk uprightly. So today, God's got everything you need. He's got the right people. He's got the finances. He's got the opportunity. He's not going to withhold anything that you need. That doesn't mean we're not going to have challenges. We're not going to face some things. But whatever we need, God's going to be right there to help us. So remember today, God has blessed you. You are strong. You are focused. You are determined. And you're going to have a great week.
To request your copy of Double for Your Trouble, God's Reward for Staying in Faith, visit joelosteen.com or call us toll free. God has promised us He will always be there with us, even when we don't feel His presence. No matter how alone you feel or how discouraged you may be, God has promised He will be with you and He will be for you. He is working behind the scenes for you when you feel it the least. As a thank you for your support of our ministry this month, Joel and Victoria would like to send you a copy of With You, For You. In this brand new 3-part series by Joel Osteen, you'll be reminded that when God is with you, you're never alone. He has you in the palm of His hand. Learn to live in God's presence and favor today.
Many times, God is working the most when we see it and feel it the least. But you got to know today that God is on your side. He said He'd never leave you or forsake you. You know, we all have to get up every morning. We have to shake off these discouraging thoughts that try to come on us, that try to attach themselves to us. See, today, God is for you, and you can do it. You can make it. Get up and make a difference.
We love that scripture that says, if God be for us, who dare be against us? And you know, you got to get up in the morning, like Victoria's saying, put your shoulders back, hold your head up high, know that you're not average, you're not a mediocre person. Almighty God breathed His life into you. You have seeds of greatness on the inside. And when you really know who you are and know who's on your side, it's amazing what you can withstand and what you can accomplish. Know that we're praying for you every single day. We believe that you're going to have an amazing year. The 2011 is going to be your best year so far. We want to especially thank all of our Champion of Hope partners for your prayer and support. We couldn't do it without you. Thank you so much.
To request your copy of With You, For You, visit us at joelosteen.com or call 1-888-567-JOEL today.
Well, God bless you. It's a joy to come into your homes. We love you. If you're ever in our area, I hope you'll stop by and be a part of one of our services. I promise you, we'll make you feel right at home. But thanks so much for tuning in today, and thank you again for coming out. And I like to start with something funny. And I heard about these three pastors. They were in a boat together one day fishing, and one pastor said, you know, we never get to let our hair down. Let's each tell the area that we struggle in the most, our greatest sin, so we can pray for each other. First pastor said, well, I hate to say this, but I've got a problem with gambling. Sometimes I sneak out at night and gamble. The second pastor said, well, I hate to say this, but I've got a problem with cheating. I hardly ever pay my taxes. The third pastor just sat there quietly. They waited and waited. He wouldn't budge. They said, we are not leaving till you tell us your greatest sin. He said, all right, my greatest sin is with gossip, and I can't wait to get off this boat. Hold up your Bible. Say it like you mean it. This is my Bible. I am what it says I am. I have what it says I have. I can do what it says I can do. Today, I will be taught the Word of God. I boldly confess, my mind is alert. My heart is receptive. I will never be the same. In Jesus' name, God bless you. I want to talk to you today about helping others to win. I've heard it said, you will always have what you want if you will help others get what they want. And if you will use your influence to help others to succeed, and you take time to give them advice, and you introduce them to people you know, you make a phone call and put in a good word, when you help others to win, you are sowing a seed for you to come up higher. I had a lady tell how her supervisor wouldn't train her on this new computer program. The company had sent this supervisor away to learn how to use it, but when she came back, she wouldn't share any of the information. She was afraid her coworker might get promoted over her, so she was keeping it to herself. But when we try to hold people back, all we're really doing is holding ourselves back. If you will live unselfish and help people get to your level, God will make sure somebody will be there to help you get to the next level. I heard about this professional mountain climber. He was on his way to the top of the mountain. It was very cold and hard to breathe. Even some of the most experienced mountain climbers couldn't make it. And along the way, about 6 hours from the top, his team encountered an incredible snowstorm, a blizzard, making it extremely difficult. And at one point, he saw a man on the side of the trail curled up, laying there asleep. He was basically freezing to death. He had a heartbeat, but he could barely breathe, and his team looked at him and kept going. They said, if you stop and try to help him, you could lose your own life. This man could not leave him there. He told the team to go on, and he started massaging the man's arms and rubbing his legs and patting his face, trying to get him to wake up. Miraculously, about 15 minutes later, the man came to and they walked down the mountain. He saved his life. The doctor that examined them both said to the man that stopped to help, "Your arms and legs were starting to go numb. You were starting to suffer from frostbite. You wouldn't have made it much further. But when you started massaging this man, it increased your own circulation and you probably saved your own life." And it's easy to get so caught up in our climb to the top that we're too busy to help anybody else. We think, "I can't stop. Other people are going to get ahead of me." No, the truth is, when we take time to help other people win, what we're really doing is helping ourselves to win. In the scripture, the Apostle Paul would have never become who he was without a man named Barnabas. Barnabas was one of the disciples. In a sense, he had already won. He was in the inner circle. You could say he was in management. He was in the corner office. His friend Paul came along. You remember Paul at one time, he hated believers. He was having them thrown in jail and God touched his life and he became the Apostle Paul. Well, now Paul was wanting to go to Jerusalem and join up with the other disciples. But in Acts 9, verse 26, it tells how the disciples were afraid of Paul. They didn't know if he had really changed. The next verse says, Barnabas stood up for Paul. Barnabas put in a good word for him. He said, in effect, "Hey, I can vouch for Paul. I know who he is. He's the real deal." If it had not been for Barnabas using his influence to open that door, Paul probably would not have written over half of the New Testament. We don't hear a lot about Barnabas. Paul greatly overshadowed him. But if you were to talk to Paul, he would say, "I won because Barnabas helped me to win. I succeeded because Barnabas dared to take a risk and opened a door that I could not open on my own. Barnabas believed in me when nobody else did." In every life that Paul touched, do you know Barnabas will get a reward as well? Friends, there's no greater legacy than to help someone else win. And God has so blessed me, I am constantly looking for ways to use my influence to help other people come up higher. Had a pastor call a while back and they're trying to buy a building from their city like we did. There was a man that was very instrumental in this whole process. And I said, "I'll get in touch with him. I'll put in a good word for you and I'll make sure that he gets on board. We've won. I'm not going to keep it to myself. I'm going to help somebody else win." The truth be known, he probably never would have found that contact. This man is not in a phone book. He doesn't have his own company. Here's what I've learned. When you do for others what they cannot do for themselves, you will never lack God's favor. You will never lack God's blessing. And yes, it's good that we accomplish our dreams. That's important. But there's no more rewarding feeling than to have someone say, "I succeeded because you helped me succeed. We got our building because Lakewood gave us their contacts. I rose to a new level because he stayed late after work and taught me and trained me what he knew." I think about our friend Michael. He's one of our main guitar players here at Lakewood, and Michael loves to help other people win. He's one of the most talented musicians you could ever meet. He's played with some of the most famous artists in all the world. Michael is at the top of his game. He's already won. He could be sitting back saying, "Boy, look how great I am. God, you blessed me with a lot of talent." No, Michael's not keeping it to himself. He's sharing it with others. There's nobody that invests in young people any more than Michael. Michael took our son, Jonathan, under his wing years ago and started teaching him how to play the guitar. We never really asked him to. He never lets us pay him for it. He just did it because he wanted to. This has been going on for 7 or 8 years, and now Jonathan is a great guitar player. On Friday nights, Michael is not out partying like he used to. He's not strung out on drugs. Do you know where he is? He's here at our Celebrate Recovery classes, leading the worship. He's won. Now he's helping other people overcome addictions. When our son Jonathan is 60, 70 years old, he'll still remember, "I'm successful in part because Michael helped me to win." Michael helped me to develop my gifts. Michael helped bring out the best in me. See, when you help someone to win, you become a friend for life. You'll always have a special place in their heart. I remember a few months after my father died, I stepped up to pastor the church, and I was ministering most Sunday mornings, but I was very unsure of myself. I'd never pastored before, and I was nervous and intimidated. I didn't really know if I had what it took. And one day, I got a letter in the mail from a man by the name of John Maxwell. Many of you know John. He's an expert in leadership and a great communicator and just a very well-respected man. I'd never met him before. I'd only admired him from afar. And boy, I opened that letter as quick as I could. It said, "Joel, I watched you on television on Sunday, and you were outstanding. I've got to tell you, you've got what it takes." He went on to list several things that he liked. "You keep it simple. You got a good personality." He listed several suggestions. "Here's some advice. Here's what you can do to be less nervous. Here's what I do when I'm getting prepared." Sharing his secrets, giving his encouragement, 40 years of experience, and now he's pouring it into a young man that he's never even met before. He didn't have to do that. He has already won. No, he understands this principle. True success is when you reach back and bring somebody along with you. Do you know I still have that note? A few weeks later, I was able to meet John. And I got to tell you, John Maxwell will be a friend of mine for life. He spoke into me at a very critical time on my journey. Look around this week. Who has God put in your life? They're not there by accident. God brings people across our path on purpose. We should live with this awareness that I am here to add value to people. I am here to help them succeed. Don't go around thinking, "I wonder what they can do for me. I wonder what they have to offer." No, we should have the attitude, "What can I do for them? How can I help them come up higher? Can I teach them something I know? Can I connect them with a colleague of mine?" Don't make the mistake of going through life ingrown. That's very shallow. Be a dream releaser. Do like John Maxwell and look for opportunities to call out the seeds of greatness that God's put in every person. Use your talent, your influence, your experience, not just to accomplish your goals, but use that to help release a dream in somebody else, to give them more confidence, to help them go further. There's nothing more rewarding than to lay down at night knowing that you helped someone else become better. You not only fulfilled your purpose for that day, you did your best, you worked hard, but you also took time to invest in someone else. It may have just been a 2-minute phone call where you encouraged somebody. Or maybe you spent 5 minutes after work teaching a coworker. Or you just gave a good idea to a friend working on a project. When I look back over my life outside of my family, I can think of 4 or 5 dream releasers, people that took special interest in me. A coach in high school, when I was the smallest one on the team, he spoke faith into me. He made me think I was the biggest, baddest, toughest, like I was Michael Jordan. I remember one of my Sunday school teachers when I was a little boy. His name is Larry. He still attends Lakewood. He invested in me. He taught us young boys like we were paying attention. He made it fun. He didn't just go by the lesson. He always went the extra mile. I can say now, I'm successful in part because Larry helped me to win. You may not see Larry up here on the platform, but let me tell you, he's up here with me. That coach is up here with me. John Maxwell's up here with me. I'm succeeding because people weren't just interested in their goals, their dreams. They became dream releasers. They knew the value of helping somebody else win. And there's a lot of people that have success. They've accomplished their goals. But being successful doesn't necessarily make you great. What makes you great is when you reach back and help somebody else become great. When you realize God has blessed me not to just sit on my throne and let everybody see my accomplishments. No, I know God has blessed me to become a blessing. God has helped me to win so I can help somebody else to win. In other words, God helped me to overcome this addiction. Now I'm going to go find somebody that's addicted and help them overcome. God's blessed me with a happy, healthy family. I'm going to go find a family that's struggling and help them get back on track. Or God's helped me pass this course in high school. Now I'm going to go to my friends and help him study so he can pass too. Reach back and bring somebody else up with you. You've won. Now make it your business to help somebody else win. In 1936, the Olympic Games were held in Berlin, Germany. Hitler's influence could be felt so strongly. Hitler didn't want any blacks to compete, much less win. There was a young American sprinter there by the name of Jesse Owens. Jesse was black. He had already won 3 gold medals, and now he was attempting his 4th gold medal by competing in the running long jump. Jesse told how the crowd was very much against him. He could feel their hostility, so much so he began to lose focus. On his first attempt, he crossed the line and faulted. Second attempt, crossed the line, faulted again. One more fault and he would be disqualified. This was very much out of character for Jesse, but he had let the crowd get to him and they were still jeering at him and shouting against him. He was very rattled. Jesse's main competitor was a tall German athlete named Luz Long. Luz Long had never met Jesse, but he could see he was all shaken up. In front of tens of thousands of people, this hometown favorite, Luz Long, did the unthinkable. He went over and put his arm around Jesse Owens and began to give him advice. He said, "Jesse, the qualifying distance is only 23 feet. You've jumped 26 feet many times before. Just move your starting mark back 3 inches. That way you'll make sure to not cross the line and be disqualified." Jesse took his advice, and on the next jump, he qualified. Jesse went on to break the world record and win his 4th gold medal. Jesse Owens said later, "You can melt down all the gold from those medals, and it will not compare to the value of the friendship I have found in Luz Long." See, Long knew there was something greater than just winning a medal. He could win a friend for life. I've heard it said, no one stands taller on their climb for success than when he bends down to help somebody else. If you will live unselfishly and be willing to give advice like Luz Long, even if that means somebody's going to pass you up, let me tell you, you will always have God's blessings. When you are a dream releaser, God will make sure your dreams come to pass. I found the greatest legacy is not what we leave for people, but what we leave in people. Luz Long left something in Jesse that he'll never forget. They became lifelong friends. One time, a very generous businessman offered me 500 movie theaters to use every Sunday morning. He said, "Joel, you can have them free of charge if you'll just pipe your message in by video and have a service. With our television coverage, I'm sure we could have thousands of people all over. And many churches are going to multiple campuses." And I thought, wow, overnight we could have 500 campuses. And while that was very appealing to the ego, when I prayed about it, I knew it wasn't something I should do. My focus is to pastor this church and to spread hope around the world through the media, but I've never felt called to pastor people in 500 different locations. Our desire is to encourage the people that watch us on television to get into a good church that's already established in their city. And I say this very humbly, but God's already helped us to win. We have 52 years of history here at Lakewood, some 50,000 people that come out. Our kingdom is big enough. I want to build God's kingdom. I want to help other pastors to win. I want to use my influence not to put people in one of my 500 churches, but to put people in one of their churches. They've been raised up, established, and called for their city. Here's my point. When you live unselfishly and you're more focused on helping someone else get ahead than you are on feeding your own ego, it's amazing how God works. The more we help other pastors, the more God increases Lakewood. It's like a boomerang. When you help somebody else come up higher, it's going to come right back and you're going to come up higher. We've got to get outside of ourselves. Who are you investing in? Who are you making better? Who are you pushing up? Your destiny is tied to helping others. And we should never get so big in our own mind that we're too good to reach down and help somebody under us. Some people, when they walk into a room, they suck all the oxygen out of it. You can hardly breathe. They're so great. They're so big. They're talking about their accomplishments. They got 27 titles behind their name. That just means they're insecure and they have to impress you like that. No, if you really want to impress people, come down off your throne and help somebody else get to their throne. Do what you can to push somebody else up. Here's the key. Learn to believe in people before they succeed. Anybody can believe in them after they're successful, after they graduate, after they're promoted, after they break the addiction. It's easy to be people's friend when they all got it together and they're blessed and prosperous. But when they need us the most is before. And if you're going to be a dream releaser, you have to look past their faults, look past what they're doing wrong, and see their potential. Most people, all they need is a little push, a little advice, a little encouragement. Bottom line, put yourself in their shoes and do for them what you would want somebody to do for you. You may have some good advice that could save them a lot of heartache and pain. Don't keep it to yourself. Pick up the phone, call them, help them to win. Maybe you excelled in that college course that they're struggling in. Don't sit back and think too bad. They got to learn it the hard way. No, God's counting on you to make it easier. Nobody may have helped you, but if you want God's continued blessing on your life, you can't be selfish. You've got to be willing to be inconvenienced. You've got to be willing to make some sacrifices to teach, to train, to share what you know, to help somebody else come up higher. I have a friend that grew up in the projects, very poor. He was raised by a single parent mom, didn't look like he had much of a future, but through a series of good breaks, and really it was God's favor, he got a scholarship to a university. In fact, it was an Ivy League college. Most of the students there were from white, well-to-do families. My friend was a black young man from a low-income family. His roommate was a sharp young man. He had traveled the world, and here my friend, he had hardly ever even gotten out of his neighborhood. It was a night and day difference. He and his roommate hit it off and became best friends. He told his roommate that his dream was to become a television news journalist. He knew from the time he was a little boy, that's what he always wanted to do. His roommate said, "You'll never become a journalist with your vocabulary like it is. It's too limited. We got to do something about it." Instead of just seeing where he was, this roommate saw his potential. He got a dictionary, and every day he taught this young man, my friend, a new word. He made him use that in a sentence. This went on day after day, week after week. For 4 years, he taught him a new word every day. What was that roommate doing? Being a dream releaser. He had won. God had blessed him with a good family, a good upbringing. He had education. He had resources. Now he was passing it on, helping somebody else to win. And today, that young boy from the projects is an award-winning journalist seen by millions of people every week on probably the number one news program in America. He told me, "Joel, I would never be where I am if it were not for my roommate. I would have never made it this far if he had not taken time to invest in me." That's true success when you reach back and you bring somebody with you. Where are the people that will make sacrifices to help somebody else win? Where are the people that will be willing to be inconvenienced to invest in someone so they can become all God's created them to be? Let's do like that roommate and be dream releasers. Let's believe in people before they succeed. Let's call out their seeds of greatness that God's put on the inside. I heard a story about a little boy named Shay. Shay was 10 years old and both physically and mentally challenged. He and his father were out walking one day and they went by a baseball field where a bunch of young boys Shay's age were playing a game. And Shay loved baseball. He said to his dad, "Do you think they would let me play on one of their teams?" Shay's dad knew that he couldn't play at that level. He was very uncoordinated and couldn't hardly run at all. And Shay's dad didn't want to disappoint him, so he went over and he asked one of the young boys in the dugout if Shay could play. And the little boy looked around at his friends trying to get some advice. And finally he said, "Well, sir, there's only two innings left and we're down by 3 runs, but sure, he can come play. We'll put him in the outfield." Shay was so excited. He could not believe he was out there playing baseball with those other young men. In the last inning, their team was down by 1 run. There were 2 outs, and it was Shay's time to bat. Deep down, those other teammates wanted to put in a pinch hitter. They wanted to send their best batter up, but they knew that wouldn't be right. So they sent Shay up to the plate, basically knowing that they had already lost the game. I mean, Shay didn't have a chance. He was facing their star pitcher. This pitcher wound back and fired the first pitch so fast, Shay didn't even have a chance. He swung so late and so uncoordinated, he missed it by a mile. At that point, the pitcher realized that Shay had some physical challenges. The next pitch, he threw about half the speed. But once again, Shay swung and missed by a mile. This time, the pitcher stepped off the mound and walked much closer to home plate. He threw the ball as soft as he could, and believe it or not, Shay hit the ball. It went about 5 feet right in front of the home plate. The pitcher ran and picked it up just out of instinct. He was about to fire it to first base and win the game. But out of the corner of his eye, he saw Shay running the best that he could. He didn't have the heart to throw it. On purpose, he threw the ball over the first baseman's head into the outfield. The dad stood up and said, "Run, Shay, run." Kind of like, "Run, Forrest, run." And Shay went to first, headed towards second. By this time, all the other boys knew what was going on. And on purpose, they kept throwing the ball over each other's heads, letting it go through their legs. And Shay rounded third base, and the whole crowd was going, "Shay, Shay, Shay." And Shay came in with a game-winning run. Father had these big tears running down his cheeks. But that day, those boys deposited something in Shay that he'll never forget. When he's 70 years old, he'll remember the time he scored the game-winning run. See, sometimes you have to give up winning so somebody else can win. Sometimes you have to make sacrifices to let someone else get ahead. Sometimes you have to put your own dreams on hold temporarily so you can help release a dream in somebody else. Here's the key. What you make happen for others, God will make happen for you. When you live unselfishly and you help somebody else get ahead, God will make sure somebody's there to help you get ahead. My challenge is make every day a Shay day. Find somebody to invest in, somebody you can help come up higher. Don't go to bed without knowing you did something for someone to help them win. I'm asking us to become dream releasers. Believe in people before they succeed. Call out those seeds of greatness. When you do for others what they cannot do for themselves, you will always have God's favor. You will not only accomplish your dreams, but God will take you higher and higher. And I believe and declare you will become everything God's created you to be. You will have everything God intended for you to have. Amen. Do you receive it today? We never like to close our broadcast without giving you an opportunity to make Jesus the Lord of your life. Would you pray with me? Just say, "Lord Jesus, I repent of my sins. Come into my heart. I make you my Lord and Savior." Friends, if you prayed that simple prayer, we believe you got born again. Get in a good Bible-based church. Keep God first place. He's going to take you places that you've never dreamed of.
God has promised us He will always be there with us, even when we don't feel His presence. No matter how alone you feel or how discouraged you may be, God has promised He will be with you and He will be for you. He is working behind the scenes for you when you feel it the least. As a thank you for your support of our ministry this month, Joel and Victoria would like to send you a copy of With You, For You. In this brand new 3-part series by Joel Osteen, you'll be reminded that when God is with you, you're never alone. He has you in the palm of His hand. Learn to live in God's presence and favor today.
Many times, God is working the most when we see it and feel it the least. But you got to know today that God is on your side. He said he'd never leave you or forsake you. You know, we all have to get up every morning. We have to shake off these discouraging thoughts that try to come on us, that try to attach themselves to us. See, today, God is for you, and you can do it. You can make it. Get up and make a difference.
We love that scripture that says, if God be for us, who dare be against us? And, you know, you got to get up in the morning, like Victoria's saying, put your shoulders back, hold your head up high, know that you're not average, you're not a mediocre person. Almighty God breathed his life into you. You have seeds of greatness on the inside. And when you really know who you are and know who's on your side, it's amazing what you can withstand and what you can accomplish. Know that we're praying for you every single day. We believe that you're going to have an amazing year, that 2011 is going to be your best year so far. We want to especially thank all of our Champion of Hope partners for your prayer and support. We couldn't do it without you. Thank you so much.
To request your copy of With You, For You, visit us at joelosteen.com or call 1-888-567-JOEL today.